We are in our fourth session on creation and creativity, and I wanted to share a source which I have reflected on for the past few years and shared in a few different contexts, but I wanted to look at it from the perspective of creation and creativity in particular. We're going to look at a passage from Rav Yitzchak Huttner, known as the Pachad Yitzchak, a 20th century scholar and sage. And before we jump into the text, I would love to plant this question for you to think about for 30 seconds. You can write something in the chat if you'd like. We sometimes say something when we have a particular experience or someone does something for us. We're like, that made my day. That made my day. And I think that, you know, we might assume that that's sort of like strong rhetorical language, but it isn't real. And I want us to actually reflect on ways that an action that somebody does in your life has enough creative power to actually make your day. Okay, or maybe it's something that you've done for someone else. So just reflect for a moment on a time where somebody's act towards you or your act towards somebody else, like, actually made your day or made their day. So that's our intro for getting into this text we're going to look at from Rav Yitzchak Huttner, which is on chesed. It is all about chesed and the power of chesed to create the world, and I'll suggest maybe also to recreate the world, is the reading for us to have of his text. So Rav Yitzchak Huttner, just a brief word on who he was. He was born in Eastern Europe, went to a kind of Lithuanian style yeshiva, also had some Hasidic roots from his ancestry, and also spent time at the University of Berlin, where he studied philosophy, seems like not super formally. Ended up, after some time in the land of Israel, he ended up in New York and started a yeshiva there. He has a somewhat obscure writing style, but is really weaving together insights and wisdom from across many different intellectual and spiritual traditions. And in many ways, his main message is a Musar-type message. Musar, right? Working on ourselves and our character development. So even his like intellectual acumen and some of the philosophical, analytical artistry he does, it's like trying to be channeled towards, you know, really working on our character. His teachings for us come in the form of collected essays on holidays. They're all organized by holidays, his theological essays. And so this collection on chesed, the ritual of chesed, is found in his collection on Rosh Hashanah. He starts all of his essays on Rosh Hashanah with Kuntu Asa Chesed, it is called, the collection of essays on attribute of chesed, loving kindness. So that's what we're going to explore today, the beginning of that. And we'll see how, or you might think of sort of chesed is about being nice, it's about being kind, but actually the premise here is that it has creative power. And if we take this essay seriously, I think you'll see if you agree with me by the end of this 22 minutes, it's the only thing that has real creative power. Chesed is the only attribute that has real creative power. That is the kind of thesis we're going to explore. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen, and you are welcome to follow along with me or open this up in the chat. But here's our spending time in this series on creativity creation, on the power of chesed to create. Okay, let me make this a little bigger for all of us. And here we go. So this is the first essay. God's chesed creates the world is my heading for this section we are going to look at first. And I tried to put in somewhat provocatively, God's chesed, and maybe ours too, is what creates the world. I brought us, since we have a short time, to the middle of the essay. He starts off the essay by bringing a verse from the passage of Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, that talks about Rosh Hashanah, which actually got a little bit more attention this year compared to previous years. People paid attention to this verse in Nehemiah that talks about the people are all weeping, crying, because they seem to have forgotten all the holidays of Tishrei. And now they're suddenly finding out about all these holidays that they hadn't practiced, and they're sad that there was this rupture. And the leaders say, don't be sad. This is a holiday. Rejoice and give food to those who don't have food. Give food to those who don't have food. And that's his entryway into talking about the attribute of chesed related to the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. And we're going to pick up in section 4 here. What he did in the previous sections was describe how it is actually God's attribute of chesed that is behind the initial coming into being of the world. So if we think of Rosh Hashanah as the quote-unquote birthday of the world, it was God's chesed and only the attribute of God's chesed that governs the world's coming into being. That is what we are going to spend time with now. We're in part 4 here. Okay. So, Hinei midat chesedo yitbarach mitgale lanu be'etzem ha'uvda shel hithavut habriya. So where he is now is asserting that it's the attribute of divine chesed which reveals itself to us in the very fact of creation's coming into being. So the fact that the world could be created, we look at our world and just by virtue of the fact that it was created, that is all an experience of revelation of divine chesed. Because divine chesed is what was behind the world's coming into being. And now he brings a verse from Psalms, Olam chesed yibaneh, which I think he is interpreting here as the world will be built, or perhaps in the flow of this essay, was built through chesed. Etzem yitziyat ha'olamot min ha'ayin el hayesh hi mitziyut chesed shel yitzirat mekor le'oneg b'li gvul. So the journey of the worlds from nothing into something, right? He's drawing on language that we know has Kabbalistic roots, min ha'ayin el hayesh, going from nothing into something, with the possibility that you can go from nothing into something reflects the existence of chesed. Chesed is the only thing that can get you from nothing to something. Right? It's chesed. What does he mean here by chesed? The creation of a source of delight without boundary. Why is he using this language of delight? This is drawing in part on the work of Mesilat Yesharim, The Path of the Just, by an earlier philosopher, Musar, scholar of Moshe Chaim Litzato, who says in his introduction to that work, Adam lo nivra ela lihitaneg al Hashem. Adam, or humanity, was created only for the purpose of delighting in God. Okay, so the whole point of creation, going from nothing to something, was to create the possibility for an other humanity, right? God creating the possibility for an other to experience delight. Okay, in case you're wondering about that being the purpose of the world, and it seems like there's a whole lot in the world that is not such a great source of delight, you should know that for Moshe Chaim Litzato, that delight is reserved for the world to come. We have our experience in this world in order to prepare us for the world to come, and it's the world to come where it's only about delight. But still, the point is that the purpose of creation was directed towards an other's delight. Okay, he is also drawing on the Kabbalistic roots of chesed as the first of the lower seven sphirot, where chesed, there is about overflow, shefa, right, not having boundary. So I think that is part of what is allowing this pairing of chesed and creation to go from nothing to something. There needs to be excess, overflow. And that is how we get there. Okay, we're going to do a little more of this section and then I will pause for questions and comments. So right now we know that chesed is what governed the world's coming into being. And then he says, V'rak la'achar mikan, la'achar shemidata chesed, shimsha reka levinyano shel olam, rak az matrilot hen sha'ar hamidot lihitgalot b'hanhagat ha'olam habanoi mikvar. So only after chesed could serve as kind of the backdrop for the entire building of the world, only then do any other attributes of God kick in. Right? Only after that can there be an attribute such as judgment or patience, right? Din, erchapayim. That can only be a second stage. Those are revealed in the governing of the already built world, sort of maintenance of the ongoing and built world. But chesed was the only divine attribute that governed the creation of the world. It was the only one that had that generative power. It's a little bit repetitive here, but the point is, chesed is the only attribute that governs the worlds coming into being. Okay, he does have a plural there, the worlds coming into being, so may be referring to this world and the next world in that formulation. Okay, so that is sort of the first part of this section of the essay that I wanted us to see about God's chesed, and then he makes a leap into our chesed. Okay, great. Bracha, thank you for your comment here about chesed having a very strong percussive sound. It's more of an imperative as opposed to some kind of like passive, nice thing to do. Thank you for that comment. The question, any suggestion that this act implies Hashem's insecurity, needing or wanting an other to take delight in God? Okay, that's a great question. Thank you, Linda.
Well, I'm just troubled by the word insecurity. I think that could express so many other possible impulses. But it does seem to me that chesed is a quality that demands the existence of an other in order to express itself toward, unlike judgment or understanding, or chesed is in a way the first one in the Eitz Chaim that demands actual engagement with an other.
Very interesting. I mean, judgment might also require participation with an other, even if it's a very different valence. But certainly with chesed, it's extremely direct. Chesed feels impossible.
Without another.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that response. I feel part of what this question surfaces is how, right, the power dynamics of wanting to do chesed can sometimes be complex, right? It's like, oh, do I want to do chesed so that I feel my own sense of worth, right? I feel powerful if people need me. I took a class on poverty in kind of late antiquity and in the Babylonian Talmud and Jerusalem Talmud. This was with Professor Alyssa Gray, who I think has since written a book on the topic. And she talks about sort of the development of notions of charity and tzedakah in early rabbinic sources alongside early Christianity, and how in Christianity, charity in many ways was also part of exerting influence, right? And creating a sense of need for, you know, the Christians who were doing this charity. And that was part of building, eventually building an empire, but at that point, building influence. So it's not the most simple question, that chesed coming out of insecurity. I'm going to keep going for now, because the text is going to take us to our own acts of chesed, which may be more relatable than the divine chesed part of this text. Okay, and then we'll pause for further comments a little bit later on. Okay, so now he says, and remember, this is the beginning of his whole set of theological essays here on Rosh Hashanah, which is the first holiday of the year. So he's laying a lot of groundwork in this essay. Umikan, right now we've talked about divine chesed and creation. Umikan, shegam ba'avodatenu anu, behishtalmut atzminu, asher tichunata ha'ikarit, hi dimayon tzura liyotra. So too, in our own work, right, spiritual work, to make ourselves whole, right? This is what we mean by, this is a work of Musar, The project is to make ourselves whole, right? To build our character. Where the main ingredient, the main element of any work of Musar and making ourselves whole is us trying to be similar to our creator. The similarity of the creature, that's us, to our creator, that would be God, is dominated by Mahu Afata. Right? Just like God, so too you. That's a shorthand reference to a passage in the early Midrash. I gave you that text in the bottom of the source. You can look at it if you'd like. And that text says, Ma hu rechum echanon, afata rechum echanon, just as God is compassionate, so should you be. That you might think of as like one source about our spiritual work. He says that is the central source. Our whole project is to try to be more like God. Mitbadelet hi ha'avoda b'hishtamut midat ha'chesed derashut pe'ula miyuchedet. Says our work on perfecting the attribute of chesed is actually unique. That's not just one on a list of attributes we might work on. Like, okay, I'll start a musar practice. I'm not quite ready for chesed. I'm going to start with something else. He says, no. The work of chesed is in its own distinct category. Uve'od she'bishar hamidot ha'tovot hama'alot ha'alyonot avodatino hi hishtadlut liknot. Chesed is distinct. Everything else is about trying to find more alignment in our ways through all these other attributes. He says, chesed is about creating our world. Yotzrim anu et olamenu. I'm going to bold that. Okay? Just like God's, only God's chesed, that was the only attribute that could create the world writ large. Also for us, it's only our perfection of chesed that allows us to create our world. And this is a moment where I think there's like maybe a tiny bit of ambiguity around which world is he talking about? Which world can we create through chesed? Is it only our internal world? Right? And he started this off by talking about making ourselves whole. So is this only about our internal world? Or might it be that our chesed has power, creative power that goes even beyond our inner selves? Okay, if you'd like, you can finish reading this section. Rani has some nice subtle and not as subtle allusions to other works of Musar. But his sort of closing sentence in this section is, through chesed, we create and bring into existence our inner personal world, the image of God. Okay, so here he's much more specific. Olameno hapinimi shel ishiyut selem elokim. Now, this is a somewhat controversial part of this essay, right? Because what he's telling us now is, by doing chesed, we create our inner selves, which he is calling the image of God, right? To the extent that we mimic God by doing chesed, just like God did chesed, we also mimic the results of the impact of God's chesed. God's chesed created a world. Our chesed creates our inner world. Meaning it turns us into an image of God when we do the work that is the same as divine work, which is extremely powerful, but may also have an element of being a little bit dangerous, because he sounds like he's saying, being in the image of God is contingent. It depends on us doing the work to become an image of God. Okay, and that could be a little bit dangerous. On the one hand, the power of this statement is, you want to be in God's image, like Bereshit suggests, that's actually not automatic. You have to work at it. And the way you work at it is by doing chesed. I think that can be extremely motivating. The thing that might be harder about it is the inverse. Does that mean if you're not doing chesed, you're not in the image of God? And for all sorts of reasons of limitations and constraints, that might be a problematic outcome. Yeah, Richard, go ahead.
How is that more philosophically difficult than the statement in the Midrash that what does it mean to be B'Tselem Elokim? It means to do the acts of Gemilut Chesed, of visiting the sick and burying the dead, et cetera, just as he does X, you should also do X. Doesn't that also imply that you become B'Tselem Elohim by doing those things that imitate him?
So I think you could read, like, that midrash doesn't have the word yotzer, right? That's what's in, or bor'im, mehavim, right? I think it doesn't have the description of our activity there as creating ourselves as B'Tselem Elohim. I think that midrash reads more as a directive, right? By virtue of being B'Tselem Elohim, by virtue of being God's image, you should, it creates an imperative, you should mimic God's actions. Well, I think it's the Pachad Yitzchak is sort of taking that a step further and saying through doing those actions, we are doing an act of creation, right? And I think this a little bit depends on that Kabbalistic view of Chesed as the sphera that governs creation, right? That's the link that kind of one-ups the thesis there, that the act of Chesed is not just a directive, that is what's creating ourselves in the image of God.
Absolutely. I'm not convinced. I think that the language that you pointed to is the philosophical language, and I think you can read the Midrash that way. But
okay. That is sort of that piece one in the essay. The last thing I want to do is he, I think, goes even further here. It's not just that God's Chesed created the world. Our Chesed can create minimally our inner world, maximally more than that. Right now, he's going to say Chesed is the only way for us to lay the foundation of being in relationship with God at all. So he, in this section, is dealing with the covenant of Chesed with Abraham, Brit Chesed, Shel Abraham, right? And here he's getting into two things we know about Abraham. The distinguishing character of Abraham is that, number one, he came to recognize his creator, Hikir et Bor'o. He is known for that, father of monotheism, quote unquote. And he quotes here briefly the Midrash. He looked at a building and the owner of the building peeked out from within. And then he's now glossing that Midrash through the Chesed lens. Since the path of Chesed is the path upon which creation proceeded in its coming into being, that's what we did in the first part, and the line that leads from the creator to the creation is the line of Chesed. There's only kind of one delicate line that extends from God to creation. That's the Chesed line. That's what, again, that's the only attribute that could govern the coming into being of the world. Of course, the moment in which Abraham recognized his creator, which the Midrash describes as the owner of the building peeked out from within, he must have crossed the path of Chesed. Okay, so we have inherited the Maimonidean tradition of this Midrash, which is the clockmaker kind of mentality, right? He sees the world, it's functioning, there's the sun going up. Must be that somebody created all of this. It's kind of the intellectual argument towards the discovery of God. The Pachad Yitzchak in this moment is rejecting that. The only way Abraham could have known God is through engaging in Chesed. He says this further, that line of Chesed that extends directly from the essence of the Holy Blessed One into the midst of creation, that is the line Avram crossed on his way back from the midst of creation to God's holy essence. He says it's impossible for a person to feel the owner of the building peeking out from within the building except through one's association with the attribute of Chesed of the owner of the building. Okay, so we sometimes think of, like, Abraham, two things. He discovered God, and we know he did Chesed, right? Open tent, visitors, etc. You might think, like, because he discovered God, he's a religious person, that inspires his acts of Chesed. No, says the Pachad Yitzchak. The only way he was able to discover God was because he was doing Chesed. It was in those acts of Chesed that he came to know God. There's not any other way to know God. And his final point here is the same is true in the opposite measure. If you don't engage in acts of Chesed, it's like you have no God. That's a little bit a quote from the Talmud, but he kind of goes further with this. Just as without the creator's attribute of Chesed, it's as it were, there's no place for created beings, so too, without the attribute of Chesed of those created beings, that's us, there's no place for the creator, kivyachol, as it were. Okay, so in this final thing, our chesed is extremely powerful. It's our only way to know God. It might even be the only way for God to quote unquote exist in the world. So that's an extremely powerful creative process. Okay, and we can take this in a few ways. Some are more radical, some less. There's sort of like God is constantly doing chesed. We can participate in God's chesed. God did chesed to create the world. We are now kind of manifesting God's chesed. The most radical option, which I don't think he's saying directly, but would be fascinating, is extremely powerful human agency, right? Actually, sort of our chesed, in a way, takes the place of that initial act of God's chesed that created the world, right? Our chesed is sort of totally critical for chesed to be experienced in the world at all. And right, that means our chesed is really critical to recreate our world each day.